Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department, the world discovered together.
Well, singer Crystal Gayle is coming to Belfast in January, an icon of the music world. She's been honoured on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She was inducted into the Grand Ole Opry by her sister Loretta Lynn in 2017. She has a Cherokee Medal of Honour and she won a Grammy for her most famous song of all, Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue.
I've been so blue, don't know what's come over you. You found someone, and don't it make my brown eyes blue. I'll be fine when you're gone, I'll just cry all night long. Say it is untrue, and don't it make my brown eyes blue? Tell me no secrets.
Well, that's Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue. Beautiful song, a huge Grammy winning hit for my guest, Crystal Gayle. Crystal, good morning to you. Thanks so much for joining me on the show. Loretta was, of course, the second eldest and you were the youngest. You were coal miners' daughters. Tell me about your upbringing, Crystal.
I was born in Kentucky, but about 4 years of age, we moved to Wabash, Indiana. So my background was totally different than my sister Loretta's, being in the holler, as we call it. But, you know, Wabash was Indiana was a very small town, but a good town. So my upbringing, you know, going to school and singing in the choirs, in the swing groups, I mean, it was a great place to grow up.
And listen, I gather your dad died when you were only 8. Is that right, Crystal?
Yes. He died. He was said when the mines closed in Kentucky. We moved to Indiana, and he found work at a mill, and he was at work when he passed away.
Do you think when you look back now in your life, Crystal, that was a huge loss, that you grew up in a sense without your dad?
It was a big loss. I mean, it affected me probably in a lot of different ways. You know, I sort of went inside a shell, and I've always been more quiet, you know, more outgoing when I was on stage when I first started. You know, I'd sing, but I didn't really want to say much. Now they want me to shut up. So. But yeah, I did. I went inside, and my mother, when people would come to the house, she'd make me sing. She knew that I needed that to come out of that shell.
And I know you credit her as well with being incredibly strong. What was your mom like?
My mother was great. My father was too. But you know, I always looked at my parents. I thought everybody had great parents. Mm-hmm. And I had some. You know, we weren't wealthy. We didn't have a whole lot. But you know, you don't really need that, as a lot of people have, that to have a good life. And I look at my mother, who was very small in height and just body, but she was very strong. If she was at work, she could call us and tell us to sit on the couch, and we would. And she wasn't even there. You know, she just had a great aura and just pulled the family together.
Now, you were all musical, but do you think Loretta's success made it more likely that you'd follow her into a career in music?
Music was a way of life. In Kentucky, people would gather on the porch, sing and play their instruments. You know, a lot of hill music, a lot of folk music from the hills of Kentucky. And when we went to Indiana, what was on that porch just was in the living room. So music was just there for us. That when Loretta started singing, and we, after Dad died, we actually took a trip to Washington State, and that's where Loretta lived. and she was just starting out her career. She was singing at the fairs, at the clubs, and so it was nice to see that. And, you know, of course, you know, we sang everywhere we could. So when my sister, she knew I loved to sing, and she said, no, you're going to record, what, you know, in high school. And, you know, she had a had it set for me what I was going to do in my career. And, it was just definitely being that my sister was in the business made it easier to get into it. It did not make it easier to have hits. And I always thought, oh, okay, well, looking at my sister, okay, you've recorded, you had hits. I thought that's how it was. You know, but I learned right away it's not that easy.
And as you said, Loretta, you know, was great with you in your career, but your record label changed your name at first from Brenda Gale Webb to Crystal Gale. And did she have something to do with your new name?
She did. You know, I had to change my name from Brenda because of Brenda Lee. I was on Decca, and that's the label Brenda Lee was on. And Loretta had seen a billboard, and she saw the Crystal hamburger chains in the South. And she said, that's a pretty name. She says, it's bright and shiny, and that's what I want you to be.
Did you ever think, I mean, it's fabulous, actually, but did you ever think of changing it back, Crystal?
I did it one time at a band. I'd already started out as, Crystal. And it's hard to go back when you've already had that name and people know you by that.
When and why, tell me, did Loretta tell you to quit singing her songs?
Well, my sister knew the business really well. She knew that in order for me to make it, I had to go in a different style, sound different from her, because she said I'd only be compared. Mm-hmm. And even though when people knew we were sisters, they would compare in different ways. You know, okay, you're pop, you know, you're slick country, you're not real country. But, you know, because you got it from all different angles. But she knew that I had to make it on my own in sound different. So she said, go M-O-R, easy listening. And that's what I did.
And was that, do you think, the best advice you ever got?
Definitely. It was one of the best advices because I do think that I would only be compared. And if you look back at different relatives from other artists, it's not easy to make it in the business. And I had more people come up to me not knowing I was her sister. I'd have some say, I hear you're Loretta Lynn's sister. And I'd say, yes, I am. And they'd look at me and say, no, you're not. You don't sound like her. So it's okay.
But I am.
And they would bet on it too. A lot of bets were going on. But, you know, she did. As I said, she knew the business and she knew what I had to do.
And was there, like, often with siblings, but was there rivalry with you and Loretta? Or was that just something the press drummed up because it made a good story for them?
It only takes one word for someone to say something, or if you're just laughing and joking around, oh, they're having problems. We didn't see each other as much to have the problems that they thought we did. So, and we'd talk to each other and we'd see the articles and say, and we'd sort of laugh at it. And then Loretta would say, as long as I spell your name right, it's okay.
I love it. Now, look, tell me about that wonderful song, Don't Make My Brown Eyes Blue, and how it landed at your door.
I was very, very fortunate that my producer at the time, Alan Reynolds, great producer, great person, he went to Richard Lee's house to hear some songs he had written. And Richard Lee wrote my very first number one, in America, I'll Get Over You. And then he really hadn't had a whole lot recorded after that. So Alan was listening. He said, you know, do you have anything else that you want to play me? And he says, well, I have a couple songs I'm going to send out to California for someone. And he played Don't Make My Brown Eyes Blue. And Alan looked at him and said, you're not sending that song anywhere. So we almost lost it. But it was a first take in the studio. It's when the machine went on. Pig Robbins did the piano lick. Everybody just fell into place. It was like we were somewhere in time maybe at a little bar, a little a place that we were just playing and having fun, and just it worked. And that's what you hear is that first take. We added strings, and that was it. I did try to re-sing it, but it didn't work. It was just a performance with everyone.
And did you know when you sang it that day in that one take, it would become as big as it did and still is?
You never know what a song's going to do. I knew it was a special song. I knew that I loved it so much. I wanted it the first single from my album. And I had to do a lot of talking with the record company. And I, over and over and over, finally, you know how a child will talk and they'll finally give in. So they gave in and let me have it my first single. And I'm sure they're probably happy that they did that.
How deeply indebted, Crystal, do you feel to that song? I mean, it's such an incredible song, and it does mean so much to so many people.
It says so much as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, but it's not this long drawn out song. It's just this heartfelt song that you can sing. And I've sung it so many times, and I never get tired of singing it. It is a song that does not come around very often, and I'm so glad that I got a hold of it.
You also sing gospel. How important is your faith to you?
It's very important. And that's another thing with growing up and with a mother who she read the Bible several times. It was not like she went to church every day because, she worked hard. But her values were there. And I think that's really what you need in families is the values that people hold. And, you know, we need that more. I know in America, with everything going on, that we just need decent, honest people that want to live here and be a part of it.
Now, I know Loretta died 2022, and I know you lost your brothers as well, Crystal. But how have you and your remaining sisters dealt with those losses?
Well, you go on. You know, you've got a lot of big family that you need to, you know, we're the elders of the family. And, you know, you deal with it in your own way. And I miss my brothers so much and my sister, Loretta. We were a close family for not living, all of us, in the same city. Going back to Kentucky, I miss Herman, who always would give the tours to the old home place. And it just, you know, you have a lot of memories that you can rely on.
Now, your voice is still really good. You said in another interview I was listening to that you'll know when it's time to stop. How would you know?
Well, in so many ways. If I'm not the one that would want to go out there singing and flatting every which way. But you will know, and people do, that my sister actually would have been on the road if she could have at 90. And that's how old she was when she passed. And, you know, she loved the road. She loved singing and her the people that came to the shows. You know, we make good friends. And I have made so many wonderful friends all over the world.
And including here in Ireland. Now, listen,
yes.
I want to ask you about us here. You've been here before. Ireland, I think you say, reminds you of Kentucky. How so?
It is always the very first time that I went to Ireland. I just felt at home. It was a connection of just the overall feel of my relatives, the people that I grew up loving and still love. And I just felt at home, definitely. Ireland is great.
And you're still touring. I'll talk in a moment about how you're coming to Belfast Waterfront Hall. But touring is hard work, isn't it, Crystal? Do you still enjoy it okay?
I do enjoy it. And it's a part of me that, you know, it gives me time to, as I said, see my friends that I've made. Because I know different areas that I will go to, that I will see certain people and get to talk to them and visit. And it definitely is harder as the years go by, but you just try to make the best of it as you can. And I said, as you'll know when to put your feet up.
Now, I know my listeners can't see you now because it's on the radio show, but all these years, you look fabulous and you kept your amazing long hair. Did you ever think about cutting it, or is it just you?
Well, it is just me in the sense of when I was, my children were younger, I was going to cut it, and they looked at me and said, "Mom, you can't cut your hair. You won't be Crystal Gayle."
I love
and it.
It
always stuck with me, and my mother never wanted me to cut it. You know, one day I'm sure I will, because it definitely takes up a lot of time. I'm used to it, but still, it's does take a while to do things.
Now, your husband, Bill, I know you said he's a massive support. You met in high school and you're still going strong. What's your secret, Crystal?
It was a lot of give and take. A lot of times I'm sure we want to, you know, hit each other over the head. You know? But, you know, you have to let people breathe. You have to, and you might not do the same things that they want to do. So you have to let them, you know, you've got to go your different ways in certain parts. So, but still, he's a great father. When the children were younger, he would stay home when they needed to be, have a parent at the house at that time. But, it, you know, you just have to work together. You have to have a lot of love.
Absolutely. Now, your son and daughter, they must be super proud of you, are they?
They are. They are. My son actually works in Nashville. He does producing and songwriting and having fun with it. And he actually co-produced, actually mixed my last album, You Don't Know Me, my country classics. Mm. And he did a fabulous job on that.
And of course, do you ever think now about your legacy? I mean, you opened the door to so many other female artists. You were doing this a long time before Shania Twain, Kacey Musgraves, Taylor Swift. Do you think about your legacy, Crystal?
I never really have, in the sense of I look back and I see I had a lot of hits, you know, about 25 number ones and all these top tens. And just, you know, I loved touring. I loved getting out there and television, did a lot of TV. But, it, you know, it was all just, it was wonderful when I look back. But I don't think about what I've left behind. I do love it when people have told me through the years that my music has helped them through a time in their life, mm-hmm. that they needed it, whether it's abuse, just anything. And it that always made me feel really good and made it like it was better than an award that I would have won reading these letters. That's what you're trying to do. You try to put your music out there and hope people like it. But you don't think of what else it can do. Music is a healer in so many ways.
That's so lovely that so many, many people have been impacted by you. Crystal Gayle, thank you so much for being my guest today. And of course, you're performing as part of Your Roots Are Showing, taking place at Belfast Waterfront Hall on January the 13th, 2026, bringing together voices from Ireland, from Nashville and beyond for a celebration of roots music. And tickets are available on showingroots.com. Crystal Gayle, thank you so much for being my guest this morning.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on your show.